Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
We're doing good this morning. Good to see everyone. Have you had a good weekend? That's good. Grateful for all the team that are around serving today, making it happen. Can we be thankful from everyone from the car park to the behind the scenes, all those in the parents' lounge, serving, looking after people. Just amazing and just incredible, hey, that we get to do this together. God's church is amazing. You're grateful for this incredible country? I know this weekend has a bunch of tension around it, and understandably so from different perspectives. But one thing as a church we want to continually do is thank God for where He's placed us. And I know that doesn't mean that answers every question and maybe there's different views in the room. That's not the point. The point is to say, God, we honor you. God, we thank you that I'm grateful that I get to be called to Australia. I'm grateful that I get to raise my kids in this great country. I'm grateful that God is on the move in this land. I'm grateful that our best days are still ahead. I'm declaring as much as the next that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. He is on the move. And that doesn't mean that everything's sorted all the time, but it does mean let's keep praying for our nation. So let's start by just lifting up this incredible country. Father, we thank you that you are the creator of all. I thank you, Lord, that you say you hold the world in your hand, that the nations are but a drop in the bucket to you. And so, Father, we just thank you that you are the author of life. We thank you that, Jesus, you are on the move. And we just pray over this weekend, where there is division, where there is tension, where there is hurt, Lord, that it would be a weekend where there would be reconciliation. It would be a weekend where we would see the healing touch of God come. Father, that there would be a greater level of unity on the other side of this weekend. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would see such a move of God over Australia. Father, every state, every territory, every region would experience the power of God. We believe that the best days of the church are still ahead. And Father, we just declare blessing over our country. Father, we thank you for the culture, for the diversity, for our First Nations people. We pray honor, we pray blessing, and we pray that you would have your way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hey, let's honor him. Oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. You know, I got a leap in my spirit this morning for what God wants to do. I really have a sense. I don't know if you've ever been this week. I didn't hear it actually, but I think I was passed out because we were at the tennis so late the night before. But there was like thunderstorms and sideways lightning and all that crazy stuff going on. But one thing I noticed when I did get up is I noticed the smell of rain. Has anyone had that sense where you've been out and it's like, I can smell the rains coming? And I just felt this morning in worship that same sense of anticipation in my spirit. Rain is coming. There's going to be a fresh touch of His presence in this meeting. There's going to be a sense of saturation over people's lives. Are you expectant this morning? I've got a word in my heart that's called from withered to watered. More than in my heart, I believe it's in my spirit. So Lord, we just commit this next few moments and just say, pour it out in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Give one more person a hug or a high five as you grab a seat. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 6. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally cool. We will have it on the screen for us to be able to follow along as well. For everybody joining us online, great to have you back live in the room with months at the movies due to copyright and all that sort of stuff. We couldn't actually do live in the room. So it's really cool to be back in the room with you as well. And so can we put our hands together and just welcome everyone who is joining us online. I love that we have families overseas that weekly come together, and even in regional Australia come together every week and be a part of what God's doing, which is so cool. And just absolutely love that. But if you've opened your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 6. It says this, on another Sabbath, he went inside the synagogue, this is Jesus, and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with a shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. I love this. So he got up and he stood there. Then Jesus said to him, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? He looked around at them all, and they and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did so, and the hand was completely restored. And then I didn't put this on the screen, but it says, but then they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus, as if the enemy could do anything to Jesus anyway. It's amazing, the story, and I'm not going to dive deeply into it theologically. I'm just going to try and do justice what God put in my spirit. Bit of a rhema word, bit of a now word, bit of a revelation that God's put in my heart. But we hear in the account of Luke about a shriveled hand. If you read it in Mark or in Matthew, it talks about a withered hand. I don't know about you, but summer can be a time of withering. My wife is very passionate about hedges. She's very passionate about her plants around our house. And so when we come back from summer holiday to find that they are not withered, but actually they are flourishing, she doesn't care how bad your summer was. She doesn't care that it rained every day. She's just excited about the fact that she drives in and goes, ah, the hedges are still alive. Everything hasn't withered. Why? Because it's been watered. Yet we find that this man's hand was withered, and withered means something that is now barren. That which was once functional has withered up. It is. We don't know if it happened over his lifetime, but things can wither through seasons. Things can wither through challenges. Things can wither in our life. God dreams over time not seen can wither. Passion that we once carried can wither. When you go for the team but they never win, it withers. Flame in your marriage at times can wither. Zeal from within you for the things of life can wither. Confidence can be withered. Courage withers at times when we feel discouraged. Belief for things to change, doors to open, miracles to come to pass. These things, if we're not seeing them, they can wither. The environments we put ourselves in that are dry, are barren, are harsh, are hot, causes our lives to wither. But I've got a belief today, I've got a heart today, that we will come to a moment of worship and we will see a fresh watering that will take place. See, it's not, I believe, just one or two of us, but I believe every season, every one of us will go through seasons where there will be an attempt of a withering in your life, a drawing back, a making less than. And I just thought it'd be cool just to go through the scriptures and talk about things that can actually cause us to wither. A couple of key things, and then we're going to jump into some of the revelation and we're going to jump into a moment of worship. But one thing the Bible says that can cause us to wither is a lack of vision. At the start of a year, I want to ask the question, when Nadia talked about prayer and fasting, did something leap in your spirit and say, come on, I'm looking forward to what God wants to place before me? But when we have a lack of vision and we hear the opportunity to pray and fast, we almost look at it with disdain, going, oh no, here's another thing to do, rather than realizing it may be the very tool that God uses to turn on the tap and all of a sudden enable us to see again. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I remember as a teenager who had walked away from God, it was amazing to me to have this dream and this desire in my life, but the truth of it was is I had no vision for my life. I could not actually see my life beyond the ages of 21. I actually had a sense that I would be dead by that age. But it wasn't until I walked into the church and all of a sudden I discovered His love in my life, His hope in my life, His mercy in my life, and all of a sudden vision started to come forth. I love what the Word says. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, come on, they will see. They will have vision. And sometimes what we do is we think we need this grandiose vision before we're going to be able to actually see clearly. But I actually love what Romans 12 says. It says, hear what I want you to do. God helping you, take everyday, ordinary life. Come on, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around, and place it before God as an offering. If we would start every day and say, God, here's my day. Here's my family. Here's my challenge. Here's my marriage. Here's my business. Lord, I'm going to high school again this year. Here I am walking into year 10. God, I give you this year. You watch God bring vision. Lord, I'm walking back into this workplace that's got hostility towards it. There's all sorts of things compromising around it. But God, I come to you today. Lord, let me see what you see. Let me hear what you hear. All of a sudden, vision starts to come forth. God is not short of vision, but we must lift our eyes and we must place ourselves in that place where we see Him and Him at work. One thing that will cause us to
lack vision is to attend without investing. Attend without investing. The Bible says this in Psalms 92, 13 to 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. I love that. In this season, it's been so encouraging to meet so many great people and fresh people to church. But I want to ask you, are you attending or are you deciding in your heart, I'm going to start investing? Because if you're just going to attend, I'm going to tell you that you will not be able to draw out of what God wants to pour into your life. Why? Because you are actually holding your roots and restricting them from being able to go deep down into the soil of vision, soil of purpose, soil of relationship. And yet we find ourselves going, that was a great top-up on a Sunday. You were never meant to get a top-up on a Sunday. Come on, you were meant to be bound together, heart with heart, life with life, and being able to see God flow in you to flow through you. But we've got to go from attending to investing. I love that in the start of March, we're going to be doing a Welcome to Life party, which I'm looking forward to having them again. Because what it's going to enable us to do is actually have a night or a day where we invite everybody who's fresh to life and say, would you come and say, hey, you know what? I really want to hear the vision and the values of this church. And I want to get to a point that I can say for myself or for our family that we are here. This is our home. And in that, the next Sunday, what we're going to do across every service is those who are making life their home, we're going to invite you to stand to your feet and we're going to pray and prophesy and declare, come on, there's a fresh flourishing that's coming. There's a fresh purpose that's coming. Why? Because we live in a societal time that wants to restrict and stay as less committed as possible. But the Bible says, come on, when we got saved, they became members of the body. And we've actually got to make a decision. We've got to give authority for ourselves to be able to put our roots down. Are you excited about that? Another area that's going to wither us is disappointment. Proverbs 13, 12 to 14 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Whoever scorns instruction, they'll pay for it. But whoever respects a command is rewarded. Listen, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. What's crazy about disappointment is when we have disappointment in our life is that we go from not just being disappointed, but we often then start diagnosing defeat and then denying promise. So we're disappointed and then we say things like, oh, we'll never get ahead. This will never change. My son will never come back to Christ. My family will never find him. I don't know about you, but that's not the promise of God's word. That's not what he outlines in scripture. That's not what he has declared from the beginning of time. In our singlehood season, we go, oh, this relationship didn't work. God has nobody for me. No, if God has placed it in your heart, seek him first and he can add all these other things. It may not be in the timing that we're desiring, but I tell you, his timing is always perfect. And then you go, well, that's easy to say. You're married, married young. Yeah, I know, but sometimes there's other things that I have to face that you might not face, but let's stay holding on to Christ and hold on to Christ's word. In our discouragement and our feeling defeated, we say things like, oh, I'm depressed. Can I just say I'm not making light of the diagnosis of depression? And yes, there is many people in society today that walk through those things. But can I say to us, let's not diagnose ourselves. Let's not placing depression as the banner over our life. The Bible says Jehovah Nissi is the banner over our life. The name of God is the banner. That doesn't mean life's always easy and we go without struggle, but it does mean, come on, he will make a way where there seems no way. You shall not be tempted beyond what you can handle in him. So let's not start putting another label above him. Come on, let's invite the reality of him into everything we face. In moments of unknown or uncertainty that cause times of feeling overwhelmed, do not declare, I have anxiety. Yes, the Bible talks about men of God who went through seasons where they felt anxious. But the word of God would come and it would start to bring clarity to that and it would start to bring hope to that. Again, I'm not making light of it, but let's be careful not to diagnose ourselves with something that isn't God's promise and don't start labeling ourselves as defeated. Come on, I love what the word says. If we remain in him, if we remain in him, come on, he will remain in us. Come on, don't let the vine, don't disconnect right now from the vine, the source of all life. One thing I've learned in life is that if we actually remain in him, the things we think are setbacks are actually setups. The very thing I thought was a setback, getting told, oh, sorry, the landlord's going to kick you out of Mark Street. You've got 3 months to go. Oh, the very thing we thought was a setback was a very setup so that we could then enter into the promise we're standing in today. You know, the crazy thing is they're now looking for another tenant to try and fulfill the very place we just left. I'm telling you, don't see it from a natural, see it from a supernatural. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication. Not in everything of Googling it and talking to our friends who are also going through it and finding ourselves just, woe is us. That doesn't get you through it. No. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, place your request, make it known to God. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those whose hope is in the Lord, that's really important, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We can have, listen to this, we can have hope for a situation, but we must not have hope in our situation. We can have hope for a situation, but we must not have our hope in a situation. He says, those whose hope is in the Lord. Place your hope in the Lord. Place your trust in the Lord. Place your faith in the Lord. Place your dream in the Lord. We can have hope for a situation, but let's ensure that our hope is only ever placed in our Savior. Another one. Is this all right? It's cool, all right? We're good? Another one. Unrighteousness. Oh, don't go there. Easy way to say it, sin. You want withering in your life? Sin. Nothing will wither your life more than allowing sin in your life. Compromising God's ways, engaging in impure acts, harboring unforgiveness, living for satisfaction of self, embracing the worldview over the word's ways. It's going to deplete you. It's going to suffocate you. It's going to cause us to try and do things in our own strength and work it out in our own ability. That was never the way it was meant to be. Listen to this, secret sin will suck the life out of you faster than anything else. Psalm 32:1 is an account where David's killed Bathsheba's husband and committed adultery. Pretty big deal, pretty major circumstance. And he says this in Psalm 32 verse 1. He says, blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Don't you love that about God? Come on, when we bring our sin to Christ, he doesn't reveal it and put it on display for everyone. No, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he covers it. He covers it. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whom spirit there is no deceit. Verse 3, for when I kept silent, in my sin, my bones wasted away through my groanings all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. A new level of Selah. 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 Matthew 5:6 says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Come on, don't come to church. Let us never be a congregation. Let us never be a church where we come here and we go, okay, how do I mask up? How do I make sure I look like everything's perfect? How do I ensure that nobody around me knows the challenges that I'm facing? How do I ensure that everybody thinks everything is perfect? Babe, smiles on. We did not have an argument. Everything is good. Come on, round the business people. Let's make sure we look like, oh, everything's prospering. But the truth of it is that there's challenges. Hey, it's a challenging time. And maybe we've started to involve and get into places where we're cutting corners to try and just get through. I want to tell you, come on, don't make a way in your own ability. Allow God through integrity and character to do something that you cannot do on your own. But I'm telling you, hidden sin will suck the life out of you. That's why I love God's word. It says in James 5:16, confess your sins. New King James Version says your faults. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. I don't know what connect group you go to, but I'm believing that our connect groups are full of real people having real conversations, talking about real life. And in that moment, we don't shy back and go, oh, I don't want to be a part of that. But you've got a group of people who unconditionally love, who race in, who place hands on you to say, hey, you are not alone. We believe in the laying on of hands. We believe in the power of God to move and see God's will be done in our lives. Come on, we got to bring light to the areas of darkness. Not shame, not guilt, but there will be a conviction that God does by his Holy Spirit to say, come on, no more secrets. No more holding this and hiding. It's time to bring it into the light. And I tell you, I've been in many moments and many services and many environments and many meetings where I've said, you know what, I need to share that these are things that are going on in my life. And I want to tell you, there is not an ounce of feeling, oh, you're not worthy. There's a reality of saying, man, God, his mercy is here. His grace is enough. Now let's walk forward from here. Come on, let's not hide away from talking about sin. Come on, it's all around us. The world is doing everything it can to get us to entertain sin. And we need each other to stand strong in this hour. Can you say amen? Is this okay for the first message live on the pulpit? Another one is not just our trials, but our triumphs. Our triumphs will cause withering in our life. Just ask Jonah, who actually went and saw Nineveh, actually encountered the presence of God, see a move of God. Next thing, he's in a desolate place wishing that everything was over. What about Elisha? Just defeated 400 prophets of Baal. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself telling his servant to stay behind, and he's going into isolation, a day's journey into the desert, wishing that life was done. Come on, sometimes it's after our greatest triumphs that we can find ourselves in our greatest area of feeling dry. But I got to encourage us. Come on, there's a reality that when we see each other and people are succeeding, don't just go, oh, it's good for them. You got to realize that when you go to the top of Mount Everest, the air is thinner on the top of the mountain than it is on the bottom. And sometimes we can idolize and wish that we were on the top of the mountain. I got to tell you, you got to pray for people on the top of the mountain as much as on the bottom of the mountain. We need to be able to be standing in unity and standing covering each other in every season. Does that make sense? Proverbs 4:20, there's many things, and this is a pretty cool scripture that just outlines a bunch of things that can wither us. We've got to keep moving, but it says this in 20 to 27. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. If we don't let God's word penetrate deep into our heart, there's always going to be a shallowness, and there's only going to be a certain level that the watering can go to. They bring forth life to those who find them and healing to the whole body. Listen to this. You want to stop yourself from being withered? It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Verse 24, avoid all perverse talk. You want some more withering in your life? Start perverse talking. Start gossiping. Start talking about those girls in a way that's inappropriate rather than treating them like sisters in Christ. Start talking about things where you want to covet. No. Perverse, get it out of your life. Stay away from corrupt speech, it says. 25, look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Come on, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Come on, that's awesome. Great wisdom. Come on, what else makes us withered? For the women, the wives out there, a lazy husband makes you withered. Can I get an amen? That was actually quite good. Safe response there. Proverbs 13:4, or a nagging wife. Can I get an amen? Oh. Proverbs 27:15. Come on, let's not be those people to each other. Come on, we're supposed to be each other's helpmate. We're supposed to be the ones that are standing together, enabling ourselves to step further forward and champion each other into the things of God. There's this reality, come on, that we've got to stand together. We've got to move forward together. So there's these things that wither us. There's the word of God that protects us and gives us guidance to every area of life of how we stay watered through every season, how we stay in a place where we are guarded through every season, how we stay ourselves in a place where the hedges continue to grow regardless of how hot it is outside. But I love what Jesus does in this moment, and these are the two points, and then we're going to have time to worship together. But it says this, he says, Jesus said to the man with the shriveled or the withered hand, he said to him, stand up, stand up. And we've got to understand, this is a really significant moment, right? Verse up, he says to him, get up and stand your feet in front of everyone. In the midst of this tension moment that is going on, the enemy is trying to restrict the move of God. He's trying to condemn Christ for the love and the compassion that he wants to live with. He ultimately is wanting to reveal to them that the priority is not religious obligation, but it's relational exchange and the reality of people encountering Jesus, regardless of what day of the week it is, and realizing that grace overcomes the law and we need to move in grace. He has this moment, and this man with the shriveled hand actually has a point where he has to decide, will I stand or will I sit? Do I sit? Because I understand that there are Pharisees and there's people out there who are looking on wondering, what will this man do? They're wondering, what will Jesus do? But they're also wondering what this man in the crowd will do. Will he stand up and say, God, I need you? Will he stand up and say, Jesus, your words are higher authority than my life, than all of the pressure around me? And there's this moment where he says, and he stood to his feet. I love that. I love that God is saying to us, come on, it's time. If we want to live watered lives, we've got to be people who are willing to stand. We're going to be willing that actually, you know what? We're going to stand into the things of God. We're going to stand and we're going to rise. We're going to stand and we're going to shine. Nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under a bowl. No, they stand and it gives light to everyone. I'm not saying this out of any sort of unhealthy place, but I'm saying we live in a society right now that needs the Christians to stand. And everything around, the enemy wants you to stay intimidated, say you're hateful, you're hurtful, your views are derogative. But I'm telling you, if it's filled with the grace of God and the Spirit of God, it's there to be able to reveal that there's a love that's greater. There's a mercy that's higher. There's a hope that's able. We've got to stand. We've got to stand in that place that says, God, I trust your word over any other word I hear. And then he says this thing. He says, I want you to stretch out your hand. The miracle is in the stretch. The miracle is in the stretch. It takes a great stretch when you felt defeated in your faith to take another step of faith. It takes a stretch to break the cycle of addiction in your life. Team, come on, why don't you join me? It takes a stretch to forgive those who have hurt us, and we've forgiven them, but they've hurt us, and then they've hurt us, and they've hurt us. It takes a stretch to honor God with our tithe. Yeah, but you don't understand how tight everything is. We don't. Our mortgage rate's going up the same as everybody else. I understand that, but I realize that the economy is not my provider. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. And I'll place my hope in him before I place it in any other ability for me to work it out. And yet we watch and we see him faithful every time. The stretch to trust people again after being hurt. The stretch to hold on to God when things seem hopeless. It takes a stretch to speak out and to reveal Jesus in a hostile work environment. When we go back into our universities and everything's teaching the opposite to God, it takes a stretch to shine in that in place. To every incredible, epic person who's just come back from camp, I'm telling you, God's going to want you to stretch in this next season to be able to reveal, come on, there's one worth pursuing. There's one that's going to fulfill, and his name is Jesus. It takes a stretch to fast. Come on, to deny our flesh and create room for the Creator to come and move in our lives. It takes a stretch. And it's this act of faith, it's this act of faith that enables a move of power. See, he had every ability to hide. Every ability to hide what was really going on. But instead of hiding, he took God's word as his word and he said, would you stretch forth your hand? And as he stretched forth his hand, all of a sudden, the fullness of life came. There are things in our lives that I believe that God wants to pour his Spirit on. But it's going to take some of us saying, you know what, it's time to stand up. It's time to stop pretending that this is enough and this is the fullness of what I'm going to just accept, but I'm actually going to stand up. I'm going to hunger for more. I'm actually going to say, God, I want more. God, I need more of you. God, I don't want to wither in this area. I don't want our marriage to just be mediocre. I want a move of God. I want to see the things of God take place. I don't want to just have a good business. I want to see a flourishing, God-breathed, kingdom-building, amazing reality. I don't want to just be someone that talks of the stories of God. Come on, I want to see the move of God. But it's going to take a stand up. And the reality is that it's never in our strength, but it's always through a supernatural. See, when we take the stretch, it's not about our strength to stretch, but it's about releasing the supernatural in our lives. And when we take this moment to stand and to stretch again and to say, God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. God, I want you. God, I long for you. There's a stretching that takes place. There's an ability to get out of our ability and to step into his promise. It takes a stretch. I love that. The stretch is never fulfilled by our strength, but always by his supernatural. Every step of God will always require a faith stretch. And what's amazing about this stretch is the Bible says that it was his right hand that was withered. The right hand of a man represented his power, his authority, and his purpose. And the enemy will always try and get you to live with a withered authority and a withered power and a withered purpose. But it's going to take a new generation to say, come on, I'm not living under the confines of what the world says or the enemy says or the lie that he's placed over my life. It's time, 2024, to stand again and to stretch again and believe again for a fresh outpouring of all that he has. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? John 7, 37 to 38 says this, in the last and greatest day of the festival, when they were meeting, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Let anyone who is thirsty." Yeah, but I'm not normally in this environment. I'm quite new to church. Let anyone who is thirsty. You might be watching in line and feeling like, well, I'm watching because if I was walking to a church, the church would fall on top of me. No, the church won't fall on top of you. It's still standing. Danny Brank is here. It's proof. You'll be okay. Love you. But don't think your sin is greater than your Savior. He has a way for you. But there's got to be a stretch that says, okay, I open my heart to you, Lord. I open myself to what you can do. I open my life to the reality of a grace that's greater. And he says, come on, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, that's the authority piece, rivers of living water will flow within them. And we'll go from being withered to watered. All over this place, I have a real sense that God just wants to water souls. He wants to water our hearts. He wants to water our lives. He wants to bring fresh rain. And so in a moment, we're going to start declaring. You might feel a little discouraged. You might feel like, oh man, I'm living quite an unrighteous life. I want to tell you, if you would just sing the name. If there would be a declaration that, yeah, you know what? I have no vision. Sing the name. I feel like, to be honest, the areas of my life, I'm a failure. While you're still breathing, sing the name. And that name will bring hope. That name will bring life. That name will release an anointing. That name will bring something fresh of His grace, something tangible of His power in the name of Jesus, and something special in this moment. I believe it's going to be fresh rain, fresh rain, fresh rain all over this place with hearts open and hands raised. If you're ready to stand, if you're ready to stretch, come on, I want you to raise your hands to heaven. If you're hungry for God to do something, you know what? I'm opening the altar and declaring, and not that anyone's going to come and pray for you, but if you want to get out of your seat and you just want to come and stand on the altar and create room to say, God, I'm seeking after you. God, I'm searching after your presence. God, I'm hungry for a touch. Lord, I'm hungry for an outpouring. Lord, I'm declaring rivers of living water in Jesus' mighty name.
We trust that you are encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life, and we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.